Before we start the Masechta, let me just give an introduction to this whole concept of what's called Edom Zeimimin. Generally speaking, generally speaking, the laws of witnesses in Torah is what's called Gzeiras HaKosuf. They don't make sense. They're not supposed to make sense. But the dinim are dinim because this is the way Hashem said. For instance, to give you a couple of examples how the dinim of Edom and testimony doesn't make sense. In logic, two witnesses versus 100 witnesses, you should believe 100 witnesses better than two. Because after all, this is 100 saying one thing and two are arguing. The Torah says two witnesses and 100 witnesses are exactly the same. That means if two witnesses contradict 100 witnesses, and obviously if you validate the authenticity of the witnesses, they're kosher and whatever, so then they cancel each other out as if it's two versus two. Another Gzeiras HaKosuf of witnesses, and these are all things we're going to learn in the Masechta or in different places, so it's important to know this anyway. If you have 100 witnesses coming to testify, three witnesses, five, it doesn't matter, and one of them is found out to be not kosher, they're all not kosher. They're all not kosher. You can have 10 witnesses, and two happen to be related, they're all not kosher. I forget the two and have eight kosher witnesses. No. Torah says, Eid shebatla miksasa, batla kula. If part of the testimony is nullified, the whole thing's no good. Just to bring this in a practical sense, we're having a chuppah here Thursday night, everybody's invited, but the marshal, when you have a wedding, you need two kosher witnesses to see the way the chassan gives the kala a ring.
What time?
Right after marriage, 7 o'clock. Under the chuppah, you have a bunch of non-kosher witnesses. You have a father, and a father-in-law, and a brother, and a cousin, and an uncle. I mean, you have the whole family under the chuppah, right? The Chayeda, they're watching the way the guy is giving the ring to the girl. So what does that help having two kosher witnesses when you have all these non-kosher witnesses? It automatically is going to disqualify it. So the answer is, what do you do? That's why they call up by the chuppah the names of the two witnesses. And many times they'll say, to the exclusion of all others. Meaning, I'm designating two as witnesses, and that's it. Nobody else are witnesses. They saw it, but they're not witnesses. Like the Gemara says in a different place, what should be if five people see a murder, and it happens to be a father and a son walking together with three other people, and they see a murder. So therefore, you're not going to do anything to the murderer, because what do you do? Only one of the two go to Beis Din, either the father or the son, or the brother, not the other brother. So the non-kosher witness never is a witness, and then you remain with kosher witnesses. But the din is, once you break part of the witness group, the whole group is broken. Which also doesn't make sense. So what if two brothers see, whatever. So therefore the rest of the witnesses are not kosher. This is what the Torah says. A woman can't testify. Not because she's no good. The Torah says, Va'amdu shnei anashim, it has to be men. According to Halacha, a Jewish king also cannot be a kosher witness. David Melech Yisrael was not allowed to be even not a kosher witness. Why? The Torah says a Melech cannot testify. If he can't testify, he can't testify. And you can tell me a king is no good. He's the nation. The Rambam calls him the heart of the nation. Bottom line is, the laws of witnesses has nothing to do with credibility. I mean, obviously a witness which is not credible is not kosher. But a person who's related is not good. Eidus shebatla miksasa batla kula. And even the example, one second, even example with witnesses. Moshe and Aaron, the original, Moshe and Aaron are definitely very religious people, very honest and not going to lie. Yet Moshe and Aaron are not kosher witnesses. Why? Because they happen to be brothers. Together, they cannot testify. That doesn't make sense. Moshe and Aaron are going to lie? It doesn't matter. If Moshe and Aaron were the only ones that witnessed the murder, you don't have witnesses to kill the murderer. Moshe and Aaron are not going to lie. They're going to say, we saw the guy get Reuven kill Shimon. the Torah says, sorry boys, brothers, relatives are not kosher witnesses. That's it. Tough luck. There are no kosher witnesses. Does it make sense? No. It doesn't have to make sense. 1 second. The laws of witnesses don't make sense. Then there's coming to our Mishnah. Again, there's other laws also in witnesses that don't make sense, but it's called Exeris HaKosuv. This is the way Hashem says it got to work. That's it. Understand it or not, it works as follows. Then there's two concepts in witnesses. There's what's called Hakhosha, and there's what's called Hazama. Hakhosha means two witnesses, two groups of witnesses, contradict one another. For instance, two witnesses come to Beis Din, and they say, we saw Reuven kill Shimon. Shimon's dead. Okay? Two witnesses come and say, we saw Reuven did it. Do it. Another group of witnesses come and say, what are you talking about, Reuven killed Shimon? Levi killed Shimon. So two witnesses say, Reuven did it. Two witnesses say, Levi did it. What's the din? The din is, they cancel each other out, there are no witnesses. That's it. Which is logical. They cancel each other. This din already makes sense. Two witnesses say Reuven killed Shimon. Two witnesses say Levi killed Shimon. We have nothing here. So they cancel each other out. And then like we said before, 2 and 100 is the same thing. Huh? There's more Gemaras. There's 10 Gemaras. I bought 10. I have 3 more in my car, but I know.
Where's the big red one for sure?
I thought you bought 13.
I did. They're in the car.
Bring the red one for sure.
The red one underneath there is a Makis Gemara. Okay.
Trying to figure out if one of them is lying before they cancel.
Obviously, we're talking. I said after you validate the credibility of the witnesses. Obviously, Beis Din has to check. Of course, maybe one's lying. There's an interesting din I don't want to get into now. Mm-hmm. If these two witnesses cancel each other out, mm-hmm. one says Reuven killed Shimon, mm-hmm. another group says Levi killed Shimon. Somebody's lying. Right. Are these guys kosher witnesses for a different case? So the din is each group can be kosher witnesses. Why? Because if you look at each group, they're kosher. One group is for sure lying. When you look at the group, this group is kosher. This group is kosher. What happens though, if one guy from each group goes to testify, then they're not believed. Because one of them for sure is a liar. Uh-huh. Because now they're coming together. Uh-huh. If you look at each one separately, group A is kosher. Group B is kosher. But if one guy from A comes and one guy from B comes, one of them is for sure a liar, so therefore they're not a kosher with testimony. But that's a separate din.
Why do we assume that one pair of witnesses is liars?
Well,
maybe they're not liars. Maybe they saw it wrong.
No, we're talking about when Beis Din checked out credibility of murder, they didn't doubt anything. They checked into every aspect of the thing in a way that there was no question.
But if there was no question,
is said and done,
they didn't figure out that one side was lying?
No. Obviously, Beis Din did, then you wouldn't be Hakosha. Then the Beis Din disqualifies one set of witnesses. Mm-hmm. But obviously, Beis Din did everything possible, and they couldn't disqualify them. So this group says Levi killed, this group says Reuven killed. What do? They cancel each other out, and that's it. That didn't make sense. What?
Testify for relative.
Right.
So is that like direct relatives or like even if he's like fifth cousin?
In Cheshe Mishpat, in the Gemara discusses at great length all the relatives that are allowed to testify and the relatives that are not allowed to testify. Cousins cannot testify. Uncles can't, brothers-in-laws can't, fathers, grandfathers, that whole group can't testify. Alpidin, second cousins are kosher, but the chatchila, even most distant relatives you're not allowed to take.
To testify against or for?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. A relative cannot testify for or against. The Gerer Rebbe once said, one of the Gerer Rebbes once said a cute explanation. He says, if a relative testifies for, how could you believe him? He's biased. He's testifying for a relative. What do you think he's going to... And if he testifies against a relative, he's not a mensch.
Why would he?
No, he's not a mensch. And if he's not a mensch, he's not a kosher witness. Who would testify against a relative? You're not a mensch. You're not a kosher witness.
So Moshe and I can testify against somebody, right?
Right. Well, if you fit the criteria of a kosher witness. Depends what shul you dive. I mean, all the...
But that
one's
like a test. Oh, for sure.
Those
two I can't test.
That's it. That, whatever. Okay. Okay, now...
How does a yeshiva fit into all that?
Yeshiva? Now, that's the din of Akasha. Now there's another doozer, Gzeres Akosef. And that's called Edom Zeimimin. Edom Zeimimin are as follows. And it's very important to understand this clear, to understand the whole Gemara over here. Ein Zeimimin is the following concept. Two witnesses come and say, on Monday morning at 10 o'clock in L.A., we saw Reuven kill Shimon. That's what we saw. Monday morning, 10 o'clock, we saw Reuven kill Shimon. Another group of witnesses come to Beis Din and they say, 1 minute. We don't know who killed Shimon, but one thing we know. How could you two testify that you saw Reuven kill Shimon Monday morning at 10 o'clock in L.A.? Monday morning, 10 o'clock, you were with us in Hawaii. In other words, they're not arguing against the case.
No.
Like, if two people say Reuven killed Shimon, two people say Levi killed Shimon, they're arguing on the case. Then they cancel each other out. Adam Zeimim, 1 second. Adam Zeimimin, you're not the second group is not testifying on the case who killed Shimon. They're just saying to the witnesses, how could you two testify that you saw Reuven kill Shimon Monday morning in LA when Monday morning you were with us in Vegas, in Hawaii, or whatever? So, what's the din? So here's an illogical din. You always believe the last group of witnesses, even though maybe they're lying and the first group is true. Torah says, you believe the second group of witnesses. And you, what do you do to them, to the first group? You do to the first group of witnesses what they wanted to do to the guy they testified against. Meaning, when they say Reuven killed Shimon, when they said Reuven killed Shimon, what did they want to get Reuven? Death sentence.
Yes.
Capital punishment. So because they testified to kill Reuven, the Torah says you kill them.
Well, what if that's not all
true? Doesn't matter.
So Reuven paid off his second group of witnesses, it doesn't matter?
Beis Din checked it out. Now, what happens if a third group of witnesses come? No, this is very important. What happens if a third group of witnesses come, and they say to the second group, how could you two say that the first group was with you in Hawaii Monday morning at 10 o'clock? You guys were with us in New York at 10 o'clock Monday morning. So you believe them.
The last group.
So the first ones become kosher.
The first one become kosher, and you kill the second group of witnesses.
Because they wanted to kill the first group.
But the Beis
HaMikdash
never kills anybody.
That's not... No, the Beis HaMikdash... In the Beis HaMikdash time, they did.
Oh, they did. Sure. I thought, like, once every 70 years, they...
They rarely killed somebody, but they were able to kill somebody. What happens if a fourth group comes? I mean, this is the strangeness of the din. If a fourth group comes and says, how can you testify? You were in New York, you were with us in Chicago. Whatever it is, you'll always believe the last group of witnesses.
So then what happened? Then the third and the first get killed.
Right.
And what happened if the second one was already killed?
So 1 second.
Well,
what? No, we didn't.
Yeah, the second one was already killed. I mean,
who?
They
Shimon?
What?
Reuven?
Come and say that the second group was somewhere else, But the first group was also someone else.
That's too complicated. Let's first get this case straight. Now, another din in Edom Zaymimin, even though the Gemara says later a story with Judah ben Taba and Shimon ben Shotach, that one of them said, oh, I killed Edom Zaymimin, and he said, you killed him innocently. The Torah says, and this is also another strange din, that goes as follows. Let's go back to normal case of Edom Zaymimin. Two witnesses come, say Reuven killed Shimon Monday morning in L.A. The second group says, how did you guys testify you saw them in L.A. when you guys were with us in Hawaii? So what do you do to the witnesses? You kill them. Because they testified against Reuven. They wanted Reuven to get killed. So therefore you kill the witnesses. So, but the Torah says, Vasisim Lai. One second. The Torah says, Vasisim Lai. You do to that group, Kashazamam Lasis Lachiv. What they wanted to do to their friends. So the Gemara learns out from there, the Torah doesn't say what they did to their friend. The Torah says what they wanted to do to the friend. So the Gemara says, what happens if two witnesses come and say Reuven kills Shimon? And because of that, Bezdin killed Reuven already. After Reuven's dead, the second witnesses come and say, how did you guys testify that Reuven killed Shimon? You were with us in Hawaii. The din is then you don't do anything to the witnesses.
They go free.
If Reuven wasn't killed yet, and they only wanted to kill Reuven, then you kill the witnesses. But if Reuven got killed, he actually got killed, then you don't believe them anymore.
But I'm confused.
So am I.
Let's say the two friends of Reuven, they actually witnessed Reuven kill somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Actually witnessed it. So they say, okay, Reuven actually, because we've seen him do this. Okay. Now these other people who are actually friends of Reuven, these two guys might not like Reuven, will never know who Reuven was. He just have been walked by and Reuven killing somebody. So these people walk, the second group comes by and says, well, another Reuven fan says, this guy's from Chicago. So what happens then?
Yeah, but they're lying.
Yeah.
Bezdin checks it out. Bezdin is not going to just let him say they're in Chicago.
No.
Bezdin did a thorough examination, and that's what the Gemara says. If Bezdin killed somebody once in 70 years, or another opinion says 7 years, they're killing Bezdin, is because Bezdin made the witnesses so crazy that they always messed up the story. Mm. Okay? They found the schools, they did whatever. But well, once
they got off then.
Right. But in this case, this doesn't make sense. If the witnesses wanted to kill Reuven, then you kill them. But if Reuven got killed, you don't do anything to the witnesses.
Well, I'm sure these people knew, because they were all a lot of people. They already knew.
No, not necessarily. And therefore, it does, even though the Rebbe quoted many times the Rabbeinu Bechaya that explains the logic of it very beautifully and very simple. But officially, it's Xerus HaKosev. Yeah.
What's the
husband? Yeah.
Based on already did the verdict, and they're about to push the guy off the cliff, but then two other even come and say that these other even were with
us, right?
So, do they kill the guy?
No. Oh, but he's dead already.
No, they're about to.
If they're about to, then he's not dead yet. Then Bezdin stops it. And they killed. Then they killed the first group of witnesses.
I think if they killed the other witnesses after Reuven was killed, there would be too much bloodshed. It's just too much bloodshed.
But what?
Their fault. Should be killed.
The Rebbe explains, and then one time the Rebbe says to Rabbeinu Bechaya. Never said Rabbeinu Bechaya, but the Rebbe once quoted the name of Rabbeinu Bechaya. But the Rebbe said the explanation many times. It's a very simple explanation. Based on Simon Chafei of Tiges HaKadosh, it's very logical. And that is, God, Hashem, would never allow a kosher Bezdin to kill an innocent person. I'm talking about a Bezdin, a tzaddik. Hashem would never allow a Bezdin to kill an innocent person. Bottom line is, if Bezdin killed Reuven,
he was guilty.
He was supposed to die for whatever.
Maybe not for this murder.
Reuven was supposed to die because Hashem wouldn't let a Bezdin kill an innocent person. So if after the fact Reuven's dead, and now the witnesses were disqualified, the Torah says, listen, Reuven was supposed to die. So obviously the witnesses maybe caused it, but bottom line is, he was supposed to die. So why should you do anything to the witnesses? But if Beis Din didn't kill Reuven yet, that means Reuven is not guilty. And they want to kill an innocent person, for that you die. So even though officially it's an unbelievable Gzeiras HaKosov, it doesn't make sense.
It makes sense to me.
Now.
Yeah, now.
Good morning. But even though officially it's a Gzeiras HaKosov, but there is an explanation for it. But logic, tell somebody, if you killed an innocent person, you don't do anything to the witnesses. But if you wanted to kill an innocent person, then you kill the witnesses. It doesn't make sense. Yeah.
At the preliminary, at the beginning of the, before the trial, the judges tell the witnesses all these things?
No, Edom Zaymimim don't need warning. It's an interesting din. We're going to see later in the Gemara, much later in the Gemara, if somebody eats chazer, they have to get whipped? That's only if they were warned. Edom Zaymimim get killed even if they weren't warned, that in case, you just kill them. They don't need chazer, they don't need warning. So it's a different... completely different din. Now, the
Mishnah.
That's Hasra, Safik, whatever. But the din is they don't need Hasra.
Based on what you said, Hashem won't kill an innocent person.
Right.
Along the same lines, if a king witnesses a murder, and so all these
Eidim. But the fact that Hashem wanted.
Hashem will kill him.
The fact that Hashem wanted and made a king see it, nobody else. Hashem obviously didn't want this guy killed in Beis Din.
Hashem will
get the crew and fall off the ladder on top of him.
Right.
Kill.
Exactly.
Hashem takes care of his business. Yeah. We don't have to worry about Hashem. Hashem doesn't remain in debt. You know what I mean? And Hashem collects his debts also. By hook or by crook, Hashem will get it done. Obviously, if Reuven was killed, even though the witnesses are not kosher at the end, because they became disqualified, the fact that Reuven was killed by Beis Din shows Hashem wanted him to get killed. Yeah.
You said Edom Zaymimim are when somebody testifies something and people say to show that they're wrong. So who's Edom Zaymimim? The one who testifies wrong or the one who testifies?
The ones that testified wrong are called Edom Zaymimim. The ones that testified against them are the ones that are making them Edom Zaymimim. We'll see later in the Gemara what they're called. Edom Zaymimim refers to the witnesses that is qualified and they're no good. What?
What happens to Edom Zaymimim who witness murder without a warning?
No, they're not Edom Zaymimim yet.
They come to court and they say that they saw a murder but they didn't warn the person.
But then that person wouldn't get killed.
But then they become Edom
Zaymimim. No. Now starts... It's an interesting point, by the way. It's an interesting point. Okay. But this is similar to the case of our Mishnah now. What happens if two witnesses cannot become Edom Zaymimim? Just from a practical perspective. What is Edom Zaymimim, the punishment? You do to them what they wanted to do to the guy they testified against. What happens if two witnesses come, and this is the case of the Mishnah, two witnesses come, and they say, you see this Kohen over here? He's not a kosher Kohen.
He's
a fake. No, he's a cholol. He's not a kosher Kohen. Why isn't he a kosher Kohen? Because we saw that his parents were divorced. I mean, his mother was a divorcee who married a Kohen. And this is their child. Now, if a Kohen marries a divorcee, the child is not a Kohen, because a Kohen cannot marry a divorcee, a Gerusha. So they said, we saw that this Kohen married a divorcee, and this is the child, so he's not a Kohen. Then they become Edom Zaymimim. The witnesses that testified that this guy is a non-kosher Kohen because of something they saw, right? They become now Edom Zaymimim. How can you have such a crazy case? two people say, we were present when the get was given, and we were present when the kohen married his divorcee. We were there. Second group of witnesses come and say, what do you mean you were there? You were with us in Hawaii. What do you mean you saw the get and the marriage in LA? You weren't there that month. You were with us in Hawaii. Okay? So they're not kosher witnesses. Now what are you going to do to them? That they should be non-kosher kohen? That they're not kohen them anyway. But it doesn't matter. What are you going to do to them? Oh, so the Mishnah says they don't become a cholol, meaning a non-kosher kohen. First of all, to not even kohen them. What do you mean to become non-kosher? Secondly, even if they are, they don't become non-kosher kohen them. Because I said a lie, I'm going to become non-kohen. I mean, so what do you do to them? So you whip them up a little bit.
39 times?
39, you whack him.
Even if he was a
Kohen, because
it says... And this is
Yehu Rahum or not? Huh? The guy didn't say it, he screamed it. Nah. I don't think so. Then, one second. The same thing the Mishnah is going to explain. What happens... And the Gemara is going to explain the reason for this. What happens if two witnesses say... We saw a guy fall off a ladder accidentally. Then Reuven fell off a ladder accidentally and killed Shimon. Accidentally. So basically, what does Reuven have to do now? Run to the city of refuge, Adi Miklat. And then, they became disqualified, Edom Zeimimin. So do the Edom have to go to the city of refuge? So the Mishnah says no. These are exceptions to the rule when you do to them what they wanted to do to the other person. So they don't become non-kosher kohanim, and they don't have to run to the city of refuge. What do? 39 lashes.
The guy who went to the city of refuge gets up.
Huh?
The guy who went to the city of refuge, he gets up.
He can leave and nobody's allowed to kill him.
After the kohen kol dies, he gets up.
No! He's saying if the Edom became Edom Zeimimin.
Yeah, and then?
So now they're not kosher witnesses, so Reuven never killed Shimon accidentally.
Right.
So what happens?
He had Marcus.
No, to the Reuven.
Oh, nothing.
Reuven, no, what happens if he's already naughty miklat?
Hey, come
he
back.
Goes out.
Mom, they give you mock,
so you never kill him.
The Gemara is going to say, there's a whole Mishnah later on, how you get Malkus. I'll tell you one thing, it hurts. they took off the clothes of a man and a woman partially. Okay, now the Mishnah says, Kate, let's start the paddock. Masechta. Kate, the Edom Nasim Zaymim. How the witnesses become Edom Zaymim. And the Gemara is going to explain, it doesn't mean how they become Edom Zaymim. The Gemara is going to say this is the exception of Edom Zaymim. And the Gemara gives a few examples of the exception. Me'idin on the Bish Plaini, if two witnesses come along and say, we testify, Shehu ben Gerusha ben Chalutza, that this Kayan is not a kosher kohen, because either is the son of a divorcee, or a son of a chalutza. A kohen cannot marry a woman that had chalitza. What is chalitza? If a person doesn't have children, and the man dies, so the brother has to either marry the girl, the sister-in-law, which is yibum, or take the shoe trick, you know, and spit in the shoe and all thing. A woman that has chalitza cannot marry a kohen either. If a kohen marries a chalutza, meaning a woman that had chalitza, or a woman that had a get, so their child is not a kosher kohen. So now two witnesses come and they say, we testify that this kohen, Yankel the kohen, is really not a kohen because his mother was either a divorcee or a chalutza. So ain amen, we don't say. And then they became zeimimin. He says ain amen, we don't say. Yaseh ben gerusha ben chalutza, that this group of witnesses become non kosher kohenim. Ela leika arboim, they get malchus. And Rashi explains, even if they're koyanim, they don't become non-kosher koyanim. Rashi says, they ain't koyanim. The Gemara is going to explain why. Even though they wanted to disqualify that koyan, and they are koyanim, why don't they become disqualified? The Gemara will explain why. They learn it out from Psukim. But the bottom line is, you don't disqualify these witnesses from being koyanim. What do you do? Like I bought him to get Malkus. 40, the Gemara means, selection of the Pasuk, that means up to the 40th. 39. Then the Mishnah says, Me'idin anu bish pleini, shulchayiv golus. What happens when they testify about somebody that he killed somebody accidentally, and therefore he has to go to Golus Tari Miklat, and then the Edom became Edom Zaymimin. So Ein Eminim Yigal is a tacht. You don't say that this guy goes into Ari Miklat instead of them. Eloleikar Boim, he gets Malkus. Now Taisus asks a very simple question over here. It's not an interesting question of Taisus. Golus is only for a guy to kill somebody accidentally. If you kill somebody intentionally, you don't go to Golus. So the Gemara asks, how can they testify? How do you have a case where a guy testifies that a guy has to go to Golus, that he killed somebody accidentally? How do you know? Maybe he killed him intentionally. How do you know? The Gemara says, we testify that this guy has to go to Golus because he killed somebody accidentally.
Or maybe they saw him.
Oh, so Taisus answers. It's speaking either they saw that the guy mamish tripped, mm-hmm. or the guy was chopping wood, mm-hmm. and a splinter, you know. Yeah. So they could tell right away it's accidental. So then you have a case of the witnesses testifying the guy killed accidentally. Otherwise, you really don't know. I mean, how are you supposed to know if the guy killed it anyway? Mm-hmm. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Gemara asks the question, what?
They only gave Malkus like once, seven or...
No, Malkus they gave a lot. They didn't kill somebody only once in 7 years or once in 70 years.
If you give Malkus, you could die sometime.
No. They first had doctors evaluate to give you a checkup. No, that was the halacha. They gave a checkup.
The doctors
checked. The Gemara's going to say that later. The doctors checked the person.
They could only take five.
Then they only got five. The maximum you can get is 39. No, same strength. But doctors were able to test it out. Did they get?
Based on how hard they have to give him every single time.
They had a guy that the Gemara says didn't have too much brains and too much power. But the Gemara is going to talk about later. But the Maisa is, maximum Malkus was 39. If Bezdin, in fact, the Gemara says later, if Bezdin said, the guy can handle 10. Mm-hmm. And the Shliach that did it, of Bezdin, gave him 11, and the guy died, he has to go to the city of refuge. The Shliach, the hitter.
He
No, he didn't. I'm thinking he did it accidentally. If Bezdin, the doctors have said he can take 10, and when he gave him the ninth one, the guy died, he's completely potter. Which is, the Gemara is going to talk later. That if Bezdin evaluated how many Malkus he can get, if you gave him that amount or less, and the guy died, you're off the hook. If Bezdin said 10, he gave him 11, then you died. But the maximum, Shimshon HaGibur, who can handle probably a lot, maximum anybody got was 39. Okay, one second. Let's get into the Gemara a little bit. So the Gemara asks, why does the Mishnah say, Keitzera Edom Nasim Zeymimin? The Mishnah said, how do the witnesses become Zeymimin? Really, the Mishnah is saying cases where they don't become Zeymimin, mm-hmm. where you don't do to them what they wanted to do to the other ones. So the Gemara says, Keitzera Ain Ho Edom Nasim Zeymimin Mi Boilei. The Mishnah should have said, how do the witnesses not become Edom Zeymimin? Because this is a unique exception. V'eid, and another question, Midaktani Lakama, we learned later on, Avul Amru Lahem, Eichatem Edom. What does Edom Zeymimin mean? How can you testify that you saw Reuven kill Shimon Monday morning in L.A.? Sheba'eisayim Atem Ayisim Imanu B'makim Pleini, Hadi Elu Zeymimin. Later on in the next Mishnah, the Mishnah defines what's Edom Zeymimin. And the Mishnah says, Edom Zeymimin means, how could you to testify that you saw him die Monday morning in L.A. when you were with us in Hawaii? So that means this Mishnah is not the Din of Zeymimin. So the Gemara is asking just on the expression of the Mishnah, why does the Mishnah say, how are these witnesses become Edom Zeymimin, when the Mishnah really should say, how are they not Edom Zeymimin? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara answers, Tana Hasim Koi. The Tana is going on a previous Masechta. Because you have to understand, in Mishnayis, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi wrote Mishnayis. Well, one Masechta finished, the next one starts. So many times in Shas, the Mishnah of a first, the first Mishnah of a Masechta is a continuation of the previous Mishnah of the previous Masechta. The end of Sanhedrin, which is a Masechta prior to preceding Makkis, it says over there, Kol hazeimim in makdimim leisim misa. Anytime Edom zeimim men or Edom zeimim, not only do you kill them, you give them the same type of death that they want, because there's four types of death. Burning, choking, sword, choking. You do to them the same misa that they wanted to give, except zeimim e bas koyin u bayolam. If a bas koyin commits adultery, you burn her. Every other married woman gets choked. So if Adam Zimmerman lied that a bas koyin committed adultery, so even though they wanted to burn her, so l'chei you should burn them. So the judge says, no, that's an exceptional case. You don't burn them, you choke them. She'magdim emleis emisa, you don't give them the same death, ela lemisa acheres. There's a different death. Meaning, the Mishnah at the end of Sanhedrin already says the exception of Adam Zimmerman. Normally, if they wanted to burn somebody, you would burn them. In this case, when they testified against the bas koyin that she committed adultery, so even though she would get sreifa for burning, they would get choking. And then the Mishnah is continuing in our Mishnah. V'yash Edom Zeimimim Achedim, and there are other Edom Zeimimim, Shein Aysim B'am Din Hazama Kol Iker. You don't do Hazama at all. That's our Mishnah. What does our Mishnah say? Allocated. Like our Mishnah is recording the Mishnah. That if somebody testifies that Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutz, meaning he's disqualified from being a Kohen, and then they become disqualified. They don't become a Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutz instead. They get Malkus. So the Gemara is answering that our Mishnah is following Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin already gives an exception to Edom Zeimimim. That even though they wanted to burn the woman, they get choked. So now the mission continues. Now you have a case in our Mishnah that you don't do at all what they wanted to do. If they wanted to disqualify this guy as a Kohen, you don't disqualify them at all, you give Malkus. If they wanted to say a guy should go into Golus, you don't put him into Golus at all, you give him Malkus Eboim. So that's why the Mishnah says, the Mishnah is continuation of the previous Mishnah, therefore the language of the Mishnah actually makes sense. Okay.